You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. I am at Williamson NFL. That's my Twitter handle. And today is Twitter Tuesday. A lot of you gave me some really good questions. We haven't done this in a while. Many of you have been asking for it. I've mentioned before, Twitter, the Locked On Network's growing really fast. This podcast is growing very much. I very much appreciate it. Please go to iTunes, leave me a review. That helps as well. And go check out the rest of the network, too. We're also really pushing to use your audio devices on your phones or whatever in your car to listen to the Locked On NFL. You just go in, tell your device, hey, play Locked On NFL podcast, and boom, there you go. So let's get into some of these questions here, some really good ones, like I said. All right, one of our good buddies, Josh Silber, asks, real quick, not to have a Hall of Fame shot? I don't think. I mean, like, I think he'll be on the ballots, maybe get pretty far in the process, get to be a finalist. Great player, rare player. Hall of Famer, though, I don't think. And part of this is just because I don't think he gets in. I'm not saying he's not deserving. I just think that that position is really hard because you don't have stats. You know, that of all the defensive positions, I think that's the hardest one to go because he's never going to be a 12-sack guy, a 15-sack guy. I mean, eats up blocks, does the dirty work, and he did much more than that, don't get me wrong. But in the end, I don't think Nada gets in and probably gets as far as maybe like, what is it, a 16-person finalist? Or I forget how they narrow it down. But in that neighborhood, maybe he gets his name as far as that. I mean, there's some guys getting that level that I think he's better than and had better careers than. But in the end, I don't think he goes and gets a bust in Canton. Mr. Bidden Florida asked me, with their second pick, do we see the Browns going safety? Which is really their first pick for them. I mean, they traded the 17th pick in the Odell trade. I think that's their most glaring spot to address. And, you know, Peppers is gone. Randall, to me, is more free than strong, but has some versatility, plays a lot. I would think you'd be in the market for a strong safety type. But the guys around them, I mean, they're not a terrible spot otherwise. I mean, I don't think it's an absolute must that they have to do that. They've kicked the tires on Eric Berry, from what I understand. And obviously there's a familiarity with the GM and Berry from their Kansas City days. Maybe they can address this position still in free agency. They still have some money to spend. But if I had to put a chip down with the Browns, what position would they go with their first draft pick? I would certainly say secondary. I mean, I think a corner could be in play, and I would probably pick safety. I'm not sure that a tackle would be a terrible idea, too. I mean, just as a developmental guy, I don't, you know, but I would think a defensive back, namely a safety, is likely. I mean, most likely, I would say, with the Brownies in the draft. Bo Dot Dot asked me, do you see Josh Allen improving his short-range pass game where he doesn't need to throw the ball 100 miles an hour? Well, clearly, they're getting him some weapons to make that, you know, easier. I mean, the people he's throwing to and the people blocking for him are going to be improved at all levels as receivers. And I also think that they probably have a good shot of adding a tight end early in the draft or a receiving back in the draft and let Gore or mentor him to some degree. I know that's not what you asked, though. I expect all these quarterbacks to take a substantial step forward after their rookie year. I mean, they have it's their first offseason to be Bills-centric, you know what I mean? Last year he was trying to make himself as marketable to 32 teams as he could, where now it's, okay, I need to do these things better within the scheme and team that I'm with. And I think that you should expect a big step forward from all these starters. I mean, Rosen, I'm not sure what how you classify him at this point, but in terms of where they are with their scheme and team and all that. I'm also kind of a believer that accuracy and to a much lesser degree touch usually doesn't get a lot better in the NFL. That usually when you're coming out of school, you are what you are in that regard. But I have to think that he will make a concerted effort, that the short passing game does not have to be a Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan fastball. I mean, this is a great question by Bo dot dot, because it's a little insane to me at times. Like, you don't need to knock your teammate over. It could be a long handoff. I mean, there's times when you do have to gun it, don't get me wrong. But even the greatest of receivers, catching a Josh Allen fastball with 3 yards away in tight quarters is harder than it needs to be. And, you know, you don't need to break fingers out there. You don't need to impress everyone with it. So I would hope that one of the things he's working on better is touch passing. Everything does not have to be on a line drive. And particularly in the short game, for sure. I mean, those quick hitters, just nice long handoff, you know, just hand it, you know, get it to your guy. But where he can get upfield quickly, and, you know, you don't have to knock him over. All right. My man Joshua Silber asked me, what would you do if you were the Cardinals? And this is a great discussion, because let's start with the hiring of Kingsbury. That I think when that, again, this is speculation by me, but when you hire Kingsbury, I think you hire him saying, this is your job, is Josh Rosen's our quarterback. We're basically married to the guy. I want you to maximize everything you can with him. And we understand this kind of system you're bringing in, and we think Josh is cerebral enough to be a great point guard, distributing the ball left and right to all these guys, for a lot of four receiver sets. I understand that you'd prefer that he be more athletic and be able to run out of those sets, but he isn't, so we're still hiring you, and that's your job. Okay, I'll take it. Thanks for the opportunity, Mr. Bidwell. I'm in. You know, I want to do it. But then you get in the building and you start breaking down prospects. And I know he was familiar with Kyler Murray, but he game planned for him 1 week. I mean, like, he didn't break him down as a prospect like they are now and deciding if they're going to marry their fortunes to the guy. But it's terrible business, but I can never be hard on an organization if they've just found the prettiest girl in the whole world and they want to marry her and she's perfect, and you get a franchise quarterback that's a franchise-changing quarterback and you are absolutely in love. And I think that's what's going on. And I think they will take Kyler Murray 1. And I think I would too. I mean, it's awful business to buy a car, drive it off the lot, go around the block, take your kid to soccer, and then go try to sell it. And that's what they're doing with Rosen. And I've told you many times, if I was 31 other teams, I would be beating down the door to try to get Rosen for a day two pick. But, you know, that if you, again, if you think this guy is a special, special player, and I tend to think Kyler Murray is, then you just take him and all those other things will work themselves out. I mean, so that's what I would do if I was the Cardinals, and I would be building my team accordingly as if Kyler Murray is going to be my superstar quarterback, hopefully, for the next many, many years. GoPats asked me, hey, Matt, with the growing importance of slot wide receivers in today's offense, Welker, Edelman, Victor Cruz, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there's a ton, do you suspect Hall of Fame voters address their potential induction into Canton moving forward? Wide receiver ones, boundary wide receivers aren't quite as important as they were in the 90s and before. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what he's asking here. I mean, in that, do I think that that'll be almost considered a different position? Maybe, because also, I mean, slots come in all shapes and sizes too. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's a slot. Keenan Allen's a slot. They're not the same as Welker to me. I mean, Marquise Colston was a slot. Evan Ingram's a slot. Yeah, I mean, that people are using big slots too. But I do think, and Welker, I think, is the catalyst for this, where, and whenever he comes up, that'll be a debate, you know, that true slot machines like a Welker or an Edelman, I think will have a strong case, and some of them will put up ridiculous numbers, you know, 100 catch season after 100 catch season, game after game with 8 for 79 in a touch, or, you know what I mean? Just consistency and long handoffs, kind of like we talked about with Josh Allen. I don't think any of those guys that are true slot machines are Hall of Fame worthy, but I think someone to be named later will be. And, I mean, again, like a Michael Thomas or a Keenan Allen to me is more than that. They're not just a slot machine. They're not Welker. They're not Edelman. But they're on that pace, obviously. I mean, Larry's in without going to the slot. But again, he's different than that, too. They're more outside guys that also are slots. So I think if you're asking me, do the smaller, undersized, quicker than fast, good route runners thrive in the slot, slot machine, Edelman, Welker types, I think that those guys that we just saw, that we just mentioned, the two Patriots, are paving the way for others to get in, but I don't think either one of those two go. Craig Cook asked me, with the three defensive signings for Green Bay, where do you see him going with the two first-round picks? It's a nice situation to be in. I think several times throughout the Packers draft, you will see best defensive player available. Almost doesn't matter what position he plays. A linebacker would be ideal, and maybe they would go after a White or a Bush or somebody like that early just to really complete the defense, which isn't a knock on their current true linebackers at all. But if they look at White and say, wow, I mean, I can't believe he's still sitting here. He's a special player. We have a top five or six grade on him. Maybe you grab him. That being said, though, I think that the rest of the offseason, namely the draft, is going to be about weapons. I mean, maybe you got another offensive lineman, but they need to find pass catchers. I mean, Jimmy Graham ain't cutting it. I think Valdez-Scantling could be fine, but what if you put DK Metcalf there? I mean, I have mixed feelings about Metcalf, but more, how about Noah Fant? You know, how about Hawkinson? You know, I think this will be probably more quality than quantity, maybe some trades up to get big-time young weapons for Rodgers and LaFleur and new system and all that. And maybe you had one nice defensive addition in the first 2 days. But for the most part, I got to think weapons. And I like those Iowa tight ends. Ooh, I think that's exciting. We're going to take another quick break here, come back and finish you up with a lot of good questions, really. I mean, again, this is a really good group of Twitter Tuesday. Okay, I am back. Good stuff there, the first two segments, by the way. Mr. Big Chest asked me, which team this year has the best chance for a very sudden improvement in defense? And there's also a question up here, too, by Mike Morris saying, which teams are locks to be top 10 defenses in 2019? So what I figured we'd do is I would just scan all 32 teams quickly and say, top 10? Probably. Or vastly improved. Patriots, I'm going to say neither. Bills, maybe top 10. Jets, improved, maybe top 10. Miami, no. I think Steelers D is a little improved, but probably not top 10. Bengals D, no and no. Brownies, improved, yes. Top 10, quite possibly. Ravens, I would never say not top 10, but I can't say improved. Front seven took some hits. Some changes in the Texans secondary. Top 10, possibly. Improved, probably. Colts D, slightly improved. Probably will improve more in the draft. Can't go top 10, no. Titans, yeah, I love the Wake signing. That might be my favorite signing, by the way. I'll say slightly improved. Possibly top 10. Jags, top 10, yes. Not improved, but still really good. Denver's D, slightly improved. I mean, most should be somewhat improved. I mean, you're not going to get worse over the free agent period, you would think, most often. Top 10, possibly, but I also think it's a little overrated. Chiefs D, not top 10, not improved. Hopefully they can keep up the big plays and they'll still be all right. I would say the Chargers D's improved up the middle, possibly top 10, but I'm not saying it's a slam dunk. Raiders D's nowhere to go but up, but not top 10. Dallas D pretty much stays the same, possibly top 10. I mean, pretty good group. Giants D is terrible and not top 10 and not improved. Washington's D, I can't say screams top 10 to me or noticeably improved. Eagles, not vastly improved, about the same, I would say. Borderline top 10. Bears, top 10, yes. Not improved, but still really, really good. Packers, D, improved. Probably outside the top 10, but possibly. Lions, I guess, improved with a slot corner and Flowers, but they don't look like a top 10 defense to me. I'm going to say yes on the Vikes still. I wouldn't say that they're improved, but they're kind of status quo and good group, good coach, a lot of good players. Saints D, I can't go top 10, but it's a decent group. Atlanta's improved because they're healthier, but not a top 10 D. Carolina D, I don't think is top 10 D either. Their pass rush worries me and not vastly improved. Tampa's in a change there. I can't give you that, and that's for sure. Rams, probably not, but big plays and big-time players, so, I mean, it fits the mold. Seattle's D, top 10, no, I don't think. Middle of the road, middle of the pack, not vastly improved. Niners D, improved, can't go top 10. Arizona's D, improved, can't go top 10. Thomas Petrie asked me, would Ed Oliver somehow fit on the Steelers? This is an interesting conversation, and in a way, I'm going to brag a little bit, because I remember being in the Browns draft room when we were having our defensive line meeting and, you know, figuring out our board. And we had just turned, Romeo Crennel had just taken over as head coach, and we just turned to a 3-4, and that's why the Steelers conversation's, you know, suitable. And I remember there was, what was his name, Patterson or something like that, that there was an undersized nose tackle coming out of USC that a lot of people really, really liked. And we weren't considering him in the first round, but, you know, second round possibly. I think that was his name. But he didn't fit the system at all. And I remember saying, and some people looked at me like I was nuts. And this was more taboo then because you only, you know, 3-4 teams usually, like the Steelers, usually keep three 300-pounders. Or only keep 6 300-pounders on the roster. And I remember kind of just, you know, raising the question then, saying, what if we just kept one of these guys on our roster at all times, who is undersized, is just a pure penetrator, and we use them situationally. And really, I was kind of, not like laughed out of the building. They weren't like, give me the finger or anything. It was just like, no. Nice idea, but no. Now, times have changed, and 3-4 and 4-3 aren't the same anymore. But I still believe that if you're only going to keep 6 dudes on the roster, if you had to keep a 280-pound Ed Oliver type, it's not the worst idea. You know, that I can find a lot of snaps where I want Ed Oliver on the field, no matter what scheme or way I am building a team. Now, what you have to think about, though, is do you pay the cost to get somebody like that? And in most cases, the answer is probably no. But Geno Atkins and Jarrett and guys like that that weren't super early picks, you know, like an Oliver, sure would be a good fit anywhere if used in the right sandwich, you know, right, you know, situations. Again, that there's that Mike Morris question about the top 10 defenses. George Maddox asks, is it time to move on from Matt Stafford for the Lions? I immediately say no, that I'm still very much a believer. But it does seem a little stagnant, and I do think that they considered, and I mean, we've had this conversation with Sando, that I think it's crossed their mind, and I don't know that it's the most outlandish thing that Detroit would trade him for a nice bevy of picks or whatever and just start anew. This last year was a little disheartening for him because I've been very much a Stafford supporter, and I'm not even saying he played bad. I've always thought that he was somewhat underrated and that he was a top 10 quarterback. Just kind of seemed like a stagnant year. And I know it was a new coach, and you know, really everything collapsed when Golden Tate went out, and it, again, didn't have much of a running game. So I'm still a believer, but I'm not jumping up and down on the table quite as much as I used to. So, but you're not going to do better. I mean, it's not time to move on. Last question. Ryan Jones asked me, where would Dallas Goedert rank in this tight end group? That's a tough question because I love Dallas Goedert, and I couldn't believe that he lasted as long as he did when he came out. I think the Eagles would be really smart to play him even more snaps, team him with Ertz. Whew. I think he's a great young player or a great player in the making. But I love these Iowa tight ends. I mean, I think Irv Smith's really good. I love this tight end group. I mean, I would rather have Goddard than Smith, but Smith's really good. I mean, that's not a knock. I think Smith's deserving of being a top 35 pick or so. I'll take Hockenson over all of them, though. I mean, I think Hockenson is a stud. Fant's a little different because he's not as much of a two-way guy as these dudes. He's a little more Evan Engram. But in the right spot, I think he's more of a difference maker than Goddard. I mean, this dude can run. I mean, you get him in space and he just runs away from defensive backs. So I guess I'd go Hockenson for his two-way game, Fant, Goddard, and then Smith. But it's a really good group, too. I mean, you think about that, the youth of tight ends, and not to mention O.J. Howard, who I'd take over maybe all of them. I think he's going to be the next great one. Njoku, Engram, that class, Kittle. I mean, Kittle's a stud. I mean, there's 10 to 12 really, really good first couple year tight ends in this league. So that's an interesting, you know, influx of talent that I think will start to really see, really show itself even more this year and the next upcoming years as well. As you know, I mean, tight ends don't usually come in the league and light things up. They usually hit their peak around 27 years old, which is much later than a wide receiver or running back, something along those lines. So a lot of these guys have really bright futures, as does the whole Locked On Network and the Locked On NFL podcast. Thanks so much. I will be back tomorrow and Thursday with our regular guests, as usual, you know, Mark and Mike. And that is a wrap. Over and out.